This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين. اللهم لك الحمد، وإليك المشتكى، وبك الثقة، وعليك التكلان، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري، ويسر لي أمري، واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Inshallah ta'ala, as promised, this evening we're going to be reflecting over a story that is mentioned in the Quran. And this story is mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 27 onwards. And although it is a surah that is mentioned later, it is among the earliest incidents of human history. It's among the earliest incidents of human history. Of course, we believe that our history of humanity starts with Prophet Adam alayhi salam. And this qissah, it has a lot of benefits for us as it relates to understanding what it means to be human. What are some of the sins that can really put us on a dark path? What are some of the root causes of some sins and how they manifest themselves? The wisdom of the laws that are in our deen and where they come from, and much more, inshallah ta'ala. So this story is known as Qisatu Qabil wa Habil, the story of Qabil and Habil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not name them in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just says, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بَنَيْ آدَمْ, and recite to them the story of the two sons of Adam. The two sons of Adam. So we know that they are the two sons of Adam. And immediately, and this is something that all of us have to understand, whenever a story is mentioned in the Quran, often it is not as detailed as a story that is expanded upon in the Sunnah, or what's known as the Israeliyat. Israeliyat meaning the narrations that come from the people of the book. So you have a story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often the Quran will mention the most important points of that story. And the reason is that this is why often you won't find mentions of names and places in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tell us when exactly it was, what their names were, because that's actually not that important. What's important is the moral behind it. And we are able to relate to it more when you remove it far from the individuals. This thing happened, but understand it can happen to you. Something similar can happen to you. And the point that is being emphasized is the lessons and the morals that you will find in that story. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بَنَيْ آدَمَ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ قَالَ لَأَقَتُلَنَّكَ قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah says, and recite to them the story of the two sons of Adam, إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا, when they both offered a sacrifice. So the first thing we learn about them from the Quran is that these two sons of Adam both offered a type of sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ, it was accepted from one and rejected from the other. قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, the one whose offering was rejected said to his brother, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, I will kill you. And then he replied to him, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَقِينَ, Allah only accepts from those that have piety and taqwa. Let's read the ayat and we'll come back and explain it further. Then Allah tells us that they started to speak to each other. And then, لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَعْصِينَ يَدِ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ, if you, this is now the one who was threatened is speaking, if you, O brother, should raise your hand against me to try and kill me, I shall not raise my hand against you to try and kill you. Why not? إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, the Lord of the worlds. So here you have again, how did he respond to the threat of his brother? He said, if you're going to try and harm me, I'm not going to do the same. Why not? I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he continues speaking, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَن تَبُوءَ بِإِثْمِي وَإِثْمِكَ فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ, rather what I want is for you, if you're going to kill me, if you're going to harm me, then you bear my sin and your sin, and you will be among the people and the dwellers of the fire. And that is the recompense for those that transgress. So in other words, if you kill me, I'm not going to try and strike you or kill you. And if you end up succeeding, you will take my sin on. And you will be among the dwellers of the fire. So now all of this, he's trying to dissuade him. If you do this, first of all, I'm not going to fight back. And if you end up succeeding, you'll be from the dwellers of the fire. You will take on my burden and my sin. And why would he take on his sin? We'll explain that further, inshallah ta'ala. Then Allah says, فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ, فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ, and then his soul permitted, his nafs, this man, the one who was threatening, the one whose offering was rejected by Allah, it allowed him to kill his brother. فَقَتَلَهُ, and he killed him. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, and he became among the losers. The moment he took another life, he became a murderer, he became a killer, he transgressed upon his brother, he became from the losers. What is he losing? He's losing Jannah, he's losing Allah's pleasure, he's losing a lot. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues the story. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا, then Allah sent a crow, يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, digging in the ground. Now why was this crow digging in the ground? Because the concept of burial was unknown to them at that time. This is really early on in human history, right? So now he has the dead body of his brother, and some of the narrations, and I'll go back to the story and tell you all of the backstory, inshallah. Some of the narrations mention that he didn't know what to do with his body, so he was just carrying him around. And you know what happens to a dead body after a while. And he just didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do until Allah sent a crow and digging in the ground. And why was this crow digging in the ground? Some of the narrations, they mentioned that this crow killed another crow and then started to dig the ground and put the body in. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُرِيَهُ, to show him كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوْءَةَ أَخِي, how he's going to hide the سَوْءَة of his brother, meaning the disgrace of his brother's dead body. And then he started speaking. The killer, he said, يَا وَيْلَتَا أَعْجَزْتُ أَنْ أَكُونُ مِثْلَ هَذَا الْغُرَابِ فَأُوَارِيَ سَوْءَةَ أَخِي فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ, and he said, woe to me, have I failed to even be like this crow who was able to hide and I wasn't even able to hide or bury or take care of the body of my brother. Now, then what happened was, Allah mentions the following ayah, min ajri dhalik, because of this. And we're going to expand more later on what does it mean, because of the, min ajri dhalik, Because of this, كتبنا على بني إسرائيل. We have made obligatory upon the people of Banu Israel that أن من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. Whoever kills another soul or spreads corruption on the earth, it is as if they have killed all of mankind. So if someone wants to make sense of the laws prohibiting murder or the strict laws against them or the penalties, etc., then understand that human nature is that if we don't check ourselves, if we don't fear Allah, if we succumb to our desires, then we are able to do great harms to each other. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا And whoever saves a life, فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا is like the one who saved all of mankind. How many times have you heard this ayah being quoted? Whoever takes a life is that if they killed all of mankind, and whoever saves a life. You've heard this many times, correct? People use it a lot. This is right. Ayah is mentioned right after the story. And this is to tell you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of mankind, knows the type of laws that are going to be the most beneficial to mankind, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our nature, right? This is why when two people get married, there are certain laws they have to abide by. Man has to provide, woman has to do this. There are certain rules put in place. For parents and children, when they live together, there are certain rules put in place. Obedience, responsibility, taking care of your children, etc. And for society at large, there are certain rules put in place. All of these rules that are from the Quran and the Sunnah are there to ensure people are protected. People are protected. And Allah is teaching us here, this is what your human beings are capable of. That's why these laws are in place. Let's go back to the beginning of the story. There's a number of principles I want to share with you. Number one is, really, the point of the story and the benefit of the story, we actually can just stick with those ayat and reflect over them, and it should be enough. If you go to the first ayah, you see two men or brothers, they both do an act of worship. They both make an offering. An offering is an act of worship. We do offerings all the time, right? Or sacrifice all the time. You sacrifice your sleep to wake up for Fajr. You sacrifice your money to give zakat and sadaqah and charity. All of these are types of sacrifices that we do for whose sake? For Allah's sake. However, if you want to be even more clear, is for example, Eid al-Adha, on the second Eid, we make a sacrifice, right? We slaughter for the sake of Allah, right? So, these types of offerings and acts of worship, whether it's salah, sadaqah, anything, any acts of worship. When you do it, Allah may accept it or may not accept it. A lot of time there's an assumption. Alhamdulillah, I prayed. It's in the bag. Done. Take it off. Right? Send it to akhirah. It's in my bank. I give sadaqah. MashaAllah. That you think that every single act of worship that you do, it's done. But you have to remember this. There's a difference between doing the act of worship and that act of worship being accepted. There's a difference. And the biggest evidence for that difference is the story right in front of us. Allah says, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بَنَيْ آدَمَ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا Tell them the story of the two sons of Adam when they both made a sacrifice. They both made an offering. It wasn't like one did and the other didn't. They both did it. فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ From one of them it was accepted and the other one it wasn't. Why, oh Allah? They both did it. Why, oh Allah? The answer is right there. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَقِينَ Allah only accepts from the pious. That's why taqwa is so important. Being a pious, God-conscious individual. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're mindful of Allah, that you fear Allah, that you love Allah, that you have taqwa. If you have that, the likelihood of your deeds to be accepted is going to be much higher. And this is why it's important that we know what taqwa is, to check do we have it or not. But let's park that for a second. So that's the first ayah. So that immediately, what's the lesson that we learn? We learn that just because you're doing an act of worship, doesn't mean your act of worship is accepted. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi, he gave a powerful example. He said, imagine two people in the row of the masjid, praying next to each other, side by side. They're praying. They are listening to the same Quran by the imam, making the same amount of ruku', coming back up, making the sujood, coming back up, standing in the same row. One of these people's deed, that salah, is so great, it as if it's near the throne of Allah. And the other one, it's under the earth. It's not going to be accepted. Why? They're doing the same thing. Same principle. Allah only accepts from the pious. Just because you showed up and prayed is not enough. What's in the state of your heart? Why are you there? Are you really doing it for the sake of Allah? Or were you dragged here by your friend? Are you really immersed in your salah? Or is it another chore? There's so many things. Are you distracted from the beginning of your salah until the end of the salah? You're thinking, are you thinking about the shopping list? Where you parked your car? Are you distracted? Are you bothered by the length of the ruku' and the sujood? Is there, what is going, or are you enjoying the act of worship, immersed in it, focused on your own shortcomings and the greatness of Allah and glorifying Him? What kind of salah are you praying? So, next to each other, they're there, but one can be accepted and the other cannot. And one can have more reward than the other one. That's the first thing you learn. The second ayah, you learn about, again, what pushed his brother to kill him or to even think about it. It was envy. He was envious. Why are you better than me? Why is yours accepted or not? How did he know, by the way? How did he know the deeds of his brother were accepted? Let's go back to the beginning and let's tell the story as it has been told in the books of Tafsir. So now I'm going to give you a lot more detail. You have a basic breakdown of the story now. They did an act of worship. It was accepted from one, or an offering. One was accepted, the other was rejected. One got angry, threatened the other one. He said, if you kill me, I'm not going to kill you back. In the end of the day, he pushed, he killed him, and then he didn't know what to do. In the end, he buried him. And because of this, Allah mentioned these rules that are for the Muslimin. Are you guys with me so far? Let's now look at what are some of the scholars of Tafsir, and what are some of the backstory that is mentioned. My brothers and sisters, these two men were the sons of Adam and Hawa. And we know, as we covered the last time I told the story of Adam, that Adam and Hawa were sent down from Jannah to the dunya. And when they came, they started to populate the earth and having children. And when they would have children, there was a necessity to continue to procreate so that mankind, so that we become who we are today. All of us, by the way, we are traced back our ancestry back there, don't we? So, what happened? For them to be able to continue the progeny and the descendants, they would have to have different rules than we have now. Right now, there are certain people you cannot marry. You cannot marry your sister, you cannot marry your aunt. There are certain people that you're prohibited of marrying. Those rules were a little bit different early on. And the way it was every single time our mother Hawa would become pregnant, she would conceive twins, one boy, one girl. And these twins would be considered siblings. They would be considered siblings. In other words, when they are born, them two are not allowed to marry each other. Then later she would conceive again and they would be twins again, both a boy and a girl. And then they would also not be able to marry each other, and they would be considered what? Siblings. So then what? How would you continue mankind? What would happen is each set would get married to the previous set. And that's how mankind was formed. That's the only way they could have moved forward with this. Does everyone follow? Tayyib. So Qabil, and this is some of the scholars, they say this, which is quite interesting. They say that Qabil and his twin sister were actually conceived in Jannah before they were sent down. Are you guys with me? So they looked a little bit better than the rest of their siblings. Right? They were, and they, you could easily start to feel a bit more special. You know, I'm from up there, I'm not from up here. You lowly dunya people. So what happened was, the woman that was born as a twin to Qabil is the killer, She was very beautiful. And then the following set, Habil and his twin sister, were not as beautiful. Then Qabil was like, this is not going to work for me. This rule that has been created, this law, that's not going to work for me. Right? I feel like I am downgrading here. I'm not going to marry this individual. I belong with the person that I left the womb with. So he refused the law. And I want you to think about that, right? There is a law. Who set this law? Allah. To defy the law set by Allah, to say no, to defy it, to refuse to follow it, that is very reminiscent of who? Who refused to bow down to their father? The devil. This is a satanic trait. When you hear Allah wants you to do this, you say, I don't care. Very dangerous thing to do. Tayyib. So then, some of the riwayat mention that as the dispute kept on happening, that they were told by their father Adam, if this is what you want, why don't you both sacrifice something for Allah? And whoever sacrifices accepted will be able to marry such and such. So that was the reason for the sacrifice. And there's something else that you guys need to know. This used to happen actually up to the time of Bani Israel. It stopped during the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What stopped? This concept that when certain offerings were made to Allah, and the way they would know it was accepted was that a fire would descend from the sky and devour whatever was presented. So they would present something. You would bring it. If it's a goat, if it's a sheep, if it's some crops, you present it, and then you would step back. And how would you know it was accepted? A fire would come and devour it. This is one of the things that the Bani Israel said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they said to him, if you truly are a prophet, because what we used to hear is that when a sacrifice was made, that a fire would come. بِقُرْبَانٍ تَأْكُلُهُ النَّارِ بِقُرْبَانٍ تَأْكُلُهُ النَّارِ. Show us this. This is what we used to see in our previous books. Oh, Muhammad, if you truly are a prophet, show us this. So this idea was known to them. So what would happen? What would happen is that they would present something. So then, now, Qabil and Habil both have to present something and offer something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, when you're offering something, and this counts for us as well, when you are doing something for the sake of Allah, when you are giving charity, for example, or when you are doing the udhiyah, you have to give that which is precious, not that which you don't want. This is why, among the worst things that you can do, have you guys ever done, are there ever opportunities where you have a clothing run, where some of you have a lot of clothes at home, and then you want to give them away for sadaqah? If you're the kind of person that packs a bag full of the clothes that you would never wear and your children would never wear, and you just want to get rid of them, and just they're cluttering all over the house, and you just give that in charity, that is not the kind of sadaqah that you give. You give something that has some worth and value. And that doesn't mean that you give the brand new clothes you bought yesterday either. You don't do that. And there's a very interesting hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was sending the great companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen. And he mentioned to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, إِنَّكَ سَتَأْتِي قَوْمًا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. You will go to a people that are from the people of the book. فَلْيَأْكُنْ أَوَّلْ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ. Let the first thing you call them towards be, أَنْ يُوَحِّدُوا اللَّهَ, to single out Allah in worship. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَعُوكَ بِذَلِكَ. If they accept that, then teach them that upon them is 5 daily prayers. If they accept that, then teach them that they have to give a charity. And then look what the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh. He said, take charity from them, وَاتَّقِ كَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And fear Allah, do not take the best of their wealth. So you're not required to give the best thing you have, but that doesn't mean what? That you're going to give the worst thing either. Are you guys with me? So something that has some level of value. So then they were told, Ya Allah, go make an offering. One of them was a goat herder, a shepherd, and the other one was a farmer. Qabil, the one who will do the killing, was the farmer. So he went to his crops. And this teaches you something. Already, what do we know about him so far? From the beginning, we know he's quite defiant of the laws of Allah and quite self-absorbed. Right? Those who think he's self-absorbed, I am better, I am this, I'm not going to marry her, she's not beautiful enough, all of this stuff. Secondly, so he's defiant of the laws of Allah. Thirdly now, when he's told to get the crops, he looked at his crops and he just grabbed the worst bit. He grabbed the worst. And he put that out. Whereas Habil did the opposite and grabbed the best. And as they were waiting, the fire came down and devoured Habil's sadaqah, or Habil's, I won't call it sadaqah, Habil's qurban, sacrifice. and nothing happened to the crops. So this now is why he gets upset. So now you see, quite self-absorbed, thinks he's better, has a lot of devilish, satanic traits of, I am better because of this. What did the shaitan say? He said about Adam, why are you not bowing down to Adam? How can I bow down to Adam? أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ. I am better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ. Oh Allah, you created me from fire. وَخَلَقْتُهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. And you created him from طين, clay. So how is it I'm going to, again, being self-obsessed, self-absorbed, I am this, I am that, number one. Number two, defiance of the laws of Allah. Number three, not even giving the best stuff for the offering. So it wasn't accepted. He clearly wasn't pious. He clearly wasn't pious. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Then what happens in his heart? These traits that he had developed into a disease. And that disease, my brothers and sisters, is hasad, envy. He became extremely envious of his brother. You're getting the woman that I want. Your deeds are being accepted. You're the one. He's getting envious of his brother. And that envy is dangerous. And the Prophet ﷺ said that hasad, he said, it is al-haliqah. It shaves. لا تحلق شعر. It doesn't shave the head. It shaves good deeds. It ruins you. Gets rid of all of your good deeds. You become a horrible human being in the sight of others and in the sight of Allah. It was envy that was the reason why Shaitan refused to bow down to Adam and condemned himself to the fire. It was envy that made Qabil kill his brother, Habil. It was envy that made the brothers of Yusuf take the little brother into the forest and got rid of him and considered killing their brother. Very Qabil-like, isn't it, of them? And then later compromised by putting him in a well instead. It was envy. It was envy that made Abu Jahl not follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Jahl, and those of you that are not sure, are not aware, I deliver a seerah class every what day, Hassan? Every Friday. So if those of you that are interested, please come to the seerah class as well, inshallah ta'ala. So Abu Jahl, there's one incident where this concept of comparison, constantly comparing yourself to others, wallahi, it's very dangerous. Because if you constantly compare yourself to others, I'll give you an example. Before I get to the Abu Jahl story, let me give you an example. Now, if you are given £5,000 today, mashallah, I need this, I can do things with it. And then you look this way and the person next to you got 10,000. What happens is 5,000 all of a sudden? It becomes something. It's not as valuable anymore, right? How much did you get 5,000? What about you, 10,000? And all of a sudden what happens? The value of what you have becomes less when you compare it to others. That's just how things work. So you need to get better at what? Don't compare yourself to others. Because if you don't do that, then what you have becomes good, right? What you have becomes good. Someone has one child, another has five children. Another has no children. The one that has one child, he's happy when he looks, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me a child. Alhamdulillah. Right? And then he looks this way, this brother has five. MashaAllah, my wife is pregnant. It's number six. SubhanAllah. And then what happens? Comparison kills joy. Wallahi, it's dangerous. This is what's happening. This is why, and that leads to hasad. Because, you know, we all compare. We all compare. We all look towards others, right? And then it starts happening to you. You know, and this is why you need to, whenever you feel, and what did the Prophet teach us? When it comes to dunya, never look up, look down. Look at those that have less than you. Look at those that have less than you. You have one child? My brother, let me show you someone who isn't married yet. Forget children, he's not even married yet, right? You have a job that doesn't pay enough, there's dozens of people or hundreds of people that have no jobs whatsoever, right? You are living paycheck to paycheck. Well, guess what? Someone is living with no paycheck. Do you understand? It is important that we do this, because if we don't do this, what's going to happen is we're going to start being less grateful for what Allah has given us, and we're going to develop this envy where we want what other people have. And that's where it starts, wanting what others have, which will then result into wishing they never had it, which will result into lots of harm coming to you and others. طيب. Abu Jahl, yes. Do you know what Abu Jahl's reason was for not believing in the Prophet? One time, he was listening to the Qur'an, him and another one. And as they were listening to the Qur'an, he said to him, Abu Jahl, listen, it's just me and you here. What do you really think about Muhammad and what he's reading? What do you really think about it? مَا تَقُولُ فِيهِ And then he says, now think about this. He says, I have no doubt that what he's saying is truth. It's haq. But he said, we are Bani Makhzum. They are Banu Hashim. When they had warriors, we had warriors. When they were traders, we were traders. When they had this, we had that. Where are we going to get a prophet from? If I can see that he is a prophet, that means from now until the last day, they will definitely have one over us. Where are we going to get a prophet? We're not going to get one. So he said, to ensure we don't fall behind as a clan, we have to destroy his call, his mission, his da'wah. Condemned himself to the fire due to comparison and envy. Isn't that something to be honestly fearful of? That you become so self-absorbed. It happened to Shaitan. It happened to Qabil. It happened to Abu Jahl. It happened to the brothers of Yusuf. It can happen to you as well. You're not exempt from it. So be very careful. Do not be envious of others. May Allah protect us from envy. May Allah protect us from envy. Say Ameen. Tayyib. So, then the sacrifice happened. Another point that has to be, we have to pay attention to is his statement, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Allah only accepts from those that are pious. There's an ayah in the Quran that Allah talks about those that when they do acts of worship, they do it وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةً while their hearts are trembling with fear. Allah talks about them. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةً Those who give and do the acts of worship and give the charity, and when they're doing it while their hearts are trembling, very confusing. Why would their hearts be trembling if they're doing acts of worship? This is the exact question our mother Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet. She said, Rasulullah, are these sinners and bad people? Why are they so fearful? And he said, no, Aisha, that's not what it is at all. They are worried because every time they give, every time they worship, they are concerned. Will Allah accept it? Will Allah not accept it? Will Allah accept it or not? There's that concern. And with that concern comes effort, comes prayer, comes, Ya Allah, please accept it. Right? Not Alhamdulillah, it's in the bag as if you have a guarantee. So, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Allah only accepts from the pious. This is why we have to have piety and taqwa. If I have time, I'll explain to you a short definition of taqwa, inshallah. Actually, let me do it now. Let me do it now because it's an important point. The scholars, when they explain what taqwa is, and why we're talking about taqwa, because Habil said to his older brother, Qabil, the reason why your good deeds were not accepted, the reason why these corrupts were not accepted by Allah, is because Allah only accepts from those that have taqwa. Are you guys with me? So what is taqwa? Linguistically, it comes from the word waqa, which means to prevent or to protect yourself, wiqaya. Right? So it means taking up any form of actions that will result in your protection in the hereafter from the fire. Right? Are you guys with me? Tayyib. So, but what does that really mean for us then? One of my favorite explanations, there are many, I'll share two with you guys. One of them is, it is all about your relationship with the commandments and the prohibitions of Allah. And the example that was given was by some of the Salaf. Imagine if you were walking down a path. You're walking down a path. And this path is filled with thorns and dangerous things that can harm you and problems, and some of it you can trip on, some of them it can hurt you. Tayyib. And then imagine you are blind or blindfolded and you're told to walk on that path. It's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, right? You're going to step on glass, you're going to step on a thorn, you're going to hurt yourself, you're going to trip, you're going to fall in a ditch. Right? You're blindfolded. But there is someone holding your hand. This person can see. If this person tells you to stop, what do you do? Go left, what do you do? You go left. Go right, what do you do? Go right. Step over. How much would you listen to that person? Of course, every single step of the way, correct? He said, the pathway, this is your life. And those problems, those thorns, those ditches, those holes, those issues, they are the things Allah has prohibited. And you are blind. And the one holding your hand is the Quran and the Sunnah. It is the Prophet of Allah. The deen. If you are the kind of person whose relationship with the deen, with the Quran, with the Sunnah, with the Prophet, is that relationship of the person that was guiding you earlier, once you get to that stage, you have taqwa. Is that a clear example? So next time, ask yourself, what is my relationship when it comes to prohibitions? Do I just run through it? And do I actually try and actively listen to what Allah and His Messenger tell me? When the Prophet tells us, don't get angry. Do I actually try and control my anger? When I'm encouraged to go and pray in the masjid, do I actually try to do that? When I'm told to guard my tongue, do I actually guard my tongue? When I'm told to stay away from vulgar language, do I still swear or have I stopped that? Etc., etc. This is what we have to think about. This should be our mindset. Another one was narrated by Ali ibn Abi Talib, that he said, taqwa is four things. Four things. Al-khawfu min al-jalili, wal-amalu bi-tanzili, wal-ridha bil-qalili, wal-isti'dad li-yawmi al-rahili. Those four things. Al-khawfu min al-jalil, to fear Allah. And that's very important. To fear Allah is one part of piety, not all of it. One of four, to fear Allah. And what's fascinating is, what does Habil say to his brother? لَإِن بَسَطَّ يَدَيَكَ إِلَيَّ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسٍ يَدِي إِلَيْكَ لِيَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. If you extend your hand to try and kill me, I will never extend or raise my hand to try and kill you. Or why not? Indeed, I fear Allah. When you fear Allah, it stops you from committing certain sins. This is why you have to constantly remind yourself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first component of taqwa, according to Sayyidina Ali, is to have fear of Allah. The second one is al-amalu bi-tanzil, to act upon that which has been revealed. So, to act upon the commandments and the prohibitions in the Quran and in the Sunnah, because they've both been revealed. Al-amalu bi-tanzil. Wal-ridha bil-qaleel. And to be pleased with what Allah has given you, even if it's little. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have a modest security job? Alhamdulillah. Right? Your business is not making a lot of money, but alhamdulillah, enough. Alhamdulillah. Allah has given you a wife but no children? Alhamdulillah. Allah has given you a little bit of children? Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with health? Alhamdulillah. You tested with illness? Alhamdulillah. Whatever little Allah has given you in this world, that you are pleased with it. That's part of piety. Was Qabil pleased with what he was given? He wasn't pleased, was he? Being pleased with what Allah has given you. And the final one, al-isti'dad, to prepare yourself liyawm al-rahil, for the day of traveling. That you prepare yourself for the day that we are traveling, meaning what? Day of judgment. Those four things is piety and taqwa. So if you have those four things, then you are among the people that have taqwa. And if you have taqwa, what happens to your deeds? They are what? Accepted. And then if we move forward, so then he became angry and he wanted to kill his brother after being envious, of course. Now, a question that we have to answer ourselves is, why did Habil not defend himself? And some of the narrations actually mentioned that Habil was actually stronger. Habil was stronger. Yet, he did not defend himself. Hassan, do you want to try and answer that? Did you raise your hand? Did you raise your hand or did I imagine that? Oh, you were not sure? Go ahead and try. What do you think? That he was scared of Allah and he was scared that something would happen to Qabil. Yeah, he was scared that he would also kill his brother. So yeah, very good. Actually, you're very smart, Hassan. Barakallahu feek. There is a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بَسْ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقَتُولُ فِي النَّارِ. if the two Muslims meet each other with their swords, meaning they're both trying to kill each other. Now, it doesn't have to be swords, it can be knives, it could be guns, it doesn't matter. But if they meet each other and they're both trying to kill each other, يلتقوا بسيفهما فالقاتل, the killer, والمقتول, and the one that is being killed, both are going to the fire. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we understand the qatil, the killer, he's a killer, we understand that. فَمَا بَالُ الْمَقْتُولِ, what about the poor guy that was killed? Why would he go to the fire? The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيصٌ عَلَىٰ قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ أَوَخِيهِ. He was also trying his best to kill his brother. He just happened to have lost. So Habil does not want to be that guy. So when Habil is saying, I am not going to raise my hand against you, he doesn't want to be in the mindset that he wants to also kill, because that would mean that they were both trying to kill each other. That's one explanation. There's another explanation, and this is very important because we have to look at the religion holistically. Because someone can ask a question. You could say, but isn't it Islamically allowed to defend yourself? And we say, yes, it is. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, when he was asked, مَنْ قُتِلَ دُونَ مَالِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ وَنَفْسِهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ, whoever is killed while defending himself is a shaheed. And also, one time a companion said, Ya Rasulullah, if someone comes after me and I defend myself and I kill him, then what is my ruling? The Prophet said, you've done nothing wrong. You've done nothing wrong for defending yourself. Right? So, how do we then reconcile that with this story where Habil chose to not defend himself? Well, the ulama, they say several answers. Some said, perhaps, because laws would change over time. In Islam, the laws for one community would be different than another community. Maybe the amount of fasting that the time of Prophet Sulaiman will not be the same as the amount of fasting at the time of Prophet Muhammad. The amount of salahs will be different. The rulings will be different. The punishment could be different. But what stays always the same? The beliefs. The beliefs don't ever change. So maybe a good example of laws changing, by the way, is what is the ruling of bowing or prostrating to another person as a form of respect or greeting? It's haram. A lot of people misunderstand this. As a form of worship and veneration, it's shirk. As a form of respect and greeting, it's what? Haram. So have you seen people that would bow down for someone in other cultures, or they do it before there is a fight or a ceremony or things like that? What is the ruling of that? We say that is what? Haram. If they intended veneration and worship, it becomes what? Shirk and idolatry. So you have to distinguish those two things. So venerating and worshipping someone else and bowing down to him was never allowed, because that is shirk, and shirk is belief, and that was never allowed. However, was there a time, or has there been cases where prostrating and bowing has been allowed as a form of showing respect and greeting? Yes. What examples do you have from that? Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when his brothers came to him and they made sujood, right? What other example do we have? Adam and the angels, right? So then, did the angels do something that is haram? No. Allah commanded them. So what if someone says, well, why can't I do it? Because Allah prohibited for you. So we say, so that's a clear example of laws changing over time, right? Just like that, perhaps the law during the time of these two sons of Adam was that you were not allowed to defend yourself if someone attacked you. And then later, that law was instilled for us as the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is that clear? So that's one way of explaining it. Another way of explaining it is to say, it's optional. It's optional. You're allowed to defend yourself, but you don't have to defend yourself. And there's some evidence to that. The Prophet said in a hadith, and listen to this hadith, the Prophet said in a hadith, when fitna happens, kun khayray ibn Adam, be the better of the two sons of Adam. When fitna happens, be the better of the two sons of Adam. What does this mean? The Prophet ﷺ was alluding that there will be a time where the Muslims will be at each other's throats, where there will be civil war between the Muslims, where they will be killing each other, fellow believers killing each other and taking each other's lives. And when that happened, the Prophet ﷺ said, If you can be the better of the two sons of Adam, what does that mean? That rather than you have Muslim blood on your hand, you rather what? You rather check out. You rather take the hit and die. Because you rather die than have Muslim blood on your hand. This was the advice of the Prophet ﷺ. But the ulama, when they explain that, they say, this is not an obligation. This is an option. Because if you defend yourself, you're allowed to. In other words, if someone says, Sheikh, are you telling me that if I'm attacked by a fellow Muslim, that I don't defend myself? No, that's not what I'm saying. By all means, defend yourself. Most likely, especially if it doesn't, most likely these kind of tight fights, and what if he's trying to kill me? If he's trying to kill you, you're allowed to defend yourself. You're what? You're allowed to defend yourself. Well, why didn't Habil defend himself? Maybe in his law it wasn't allowed. Or maybe he just didn't want blood on his hands in the judgment. Is that clear, everyone? Right? طيب. فَتَوَعَدْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ فَقَتَلَهُ فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. He became from the losers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith that Qabil, by the way, a point of benefit, I keep saying Qabil, Qabil. This name, Qabil and Habil, Cain and Abel, these names, they are from the Isra'iliyat. They are not mentioned in the Quran, meaning they are from the stories that were told by the people of the book. And what is the rule related to the stories of the people of the book? If they add context, if they give detail, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tusaddiquhum wa la tukadhibuhum." Do not reject them and do not accept them. Do not reject them because it could be true. That could have been their names. Do not accept it fully. Why? Because it could have been one of those things that have been added. So we and the Prophet did also allow. He said, "Hadithu an bani Israel wa la haraj." Tell the stories of Bani Israel. Tell the stories that come from them as well, and there's no issue. So sometimes when we add in context, you're allowed to say Qabil and Habil. But do we know 100% sure that was their names? No, we don't. Allah calls them the two sons of Adam. Is that clear? And you do that with a lot of different things like that. In any case, where was I? Yes, so he kills him. So what did he kill him with? They say he killed him with a rock. Just hit him over his head, and then he died. And he carries the sin of every murder after. Qabil carries the sin of every murder that ever happened after. Just like the shaitan carries every sin every time someone disobeys Allah, the shaitan gets a portion of that investment of his because he's the one that started it all. And those that start a trend of sinfulness, those that do it after them, they get a portion of that sin. If they start a trend of sinfulness. And who saw the trend of one person killing another person? Qabil started it. And he will continue. For every murder that happens, how many murders do we hear of these days? SubhanAllah, I want you to just imagine this. How many murders do you see happening on this earth? Right? With bombs and with guns and with everything. And from now on, all the history of humanity, he's getting a portion of that sin for him. So when Allah says, فَطَوَّعَدْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ فَقَتَلَهُ فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. His nafs allowed him, permitted him to kill his brother. فَقَتَلَهُ, and he killed him. And he became among the losers. I want that context be there for you. Look at how much sin he's accumulating until this day. Look at how much sin he's accumulating. Now, if we say anybody that sets a trend or starts a trend of sinfulness and disobedience, and then those that are inspired by that or do that, they will also have that sin. You will carry that sin. What about Prophet Adam? Did he not technically disobey Allah by eating from the fruit that he wasn't supposed to? Does he then also not carry? If someone asks that question, how do you answer it? It's very simple. You say, you wanna have a go, akhi? Did you raise your hand? It is because he repented. You didn't guess. You knew. Allahu Akbar. Jazakallah khair. So, if you repent, then that you're not responsible for anyone, even if they were inspired by you. How many times you have someone enter into Islam, but there's content out there that is extremely horrid about them, or they would promote something that is haram, or they would teach something that is haram, and then they repent and accept Islam. They're not responsible for that anymore because Allah is the most merciful. Al-Islam yajibu ma qabla Islam. It removed all that came before. So Prophet Adam, and similarly with Tawbah, Prophet Adam repented. We know that it's in the Quran. So he is not held accountable for anything. So inspiring others to make a mistake or being a trendsetter, you are held responsible for that when? when you don't repent. Is that clear, everyone? Barakallahu feekum. So, with Qabil, he then had to deal with carrying his brother and the ignorance of what to do with the body until this concept of burial was revealed and he buried his brother. And then Allah mentions after that, that it's because of this, that these laws, these very strict laws of what happens to the murderer and how dangerous is it to murder and all of these things were set for the people that came after. Inshallah ta'ala, these were some reflections that I wanted to share with you guys as it relates to this qissa and the story. And there's a lot to learn and a lot to unpack. The point, my brothers and my sisters, is that we don't just take these stories and just there's a nice story to hear, but we ask ourselves, what are some of the things that we can apply, right? And I'm going to ask the brothers here to help me find practical lessons in this story. I'm going to start in this area. If anyone can tell me what is a practical lesson that you feel like you've benefited from the story that maybe you can learn from, apply. Guys, I'm coming to you guys, so start thinking. The engines. Zahid, I'm looking at you. Naam, anyone? No? You know, the moment you point fingers, nobody. Yeah. Anybody? Tafaddal, akhi. Constantly checking your nafs. Do you want to elaborate? Are you checking your nafs as in whether you're doing it for the sake of Allah or not? Or do you mean like whether you have hasad or not? What do you mean? Yes. Yes. Constantly checking your nafs and ensuring that you don't have negative thoughts. Jazakallah khair. Because it is those negative thoughts that will manifest themselves into actions or something like that. Very good. Jazakallah khair. Naam, akhi. Conflict from brothers and avoiding conflict. And to avoid conflict, you're going to need certain things such as thinking the best of others, not assuming, right? Again, very, very good. Jazakallah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the hearts of our brothers close to each other. All of a sudden, the hands are coming. Allahu Akbar. Let me start from here. Yes, go ahead. Repent from your sin so that you're not responsible. Jazakallah khair. Naam, akhi. Isa. Be conscious of Allah in every situation. Did you know you just quoted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who said, "Ittaqu Allah haythu ma kunt." Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are in every situation. Jazakallah khair. Naam, Adam. Yes, when there is a fitna, be the better of two sons of Adam. That you rather, that it's so such a dangerous thing to meet Allah with the blood of your fellow believer in your hands, that you rather meet Allah with none of that. And the Prophet in a hadith, لا يزال المسلم في فسحة من دينه ما لم يصب دما حراما. لا يزال المسلم في فسحة من دينه. That means that the Muslim continues to be in a good state regarding their deen as long as they don't have on their hands blood that is haram. So jazakallah khair, very important point. Yes, Hassan. Having sabr. And which part of the story did you find that having sabr? Who was having sabr? Habil was having sabr. His brother's trying to kill him and he's having sabr. Jazakallah khair. Is there anyone that I skipped on this side? Yes, akhi, you raise your hand and I'm going to come to you, inshallah. The danger of comparing yourself to others. The danger of comparing yourself to others, because that can lead to what? It can lead to envy and hasad. Barakallah fiqh. Naam, akhi. Being grateful for what you've been given, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you in the spot of taqwa. Now, who can tell me what are the four aspects of taqwa as mentioned by Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu? What was it? Who can tell me the first one? Let's try to do it together. You do the first one. Fearing Allah. Naam. Second one, akhi. Or the third or the fourth, doesn't matter. What was it? Be pleased with what Allah has given you. And then what was the other one? Naam, akhi. Yeah, I was actually looking at you. That's fine. Acting upon the Quran and the Sunnah that has been revealed. And finally, preparing yourself for the hereafter. Barakallah feekum. Inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to stop and conclude here. Jazakumullah everyone for coming. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be those that benefit from the Quran and the stories in it. Every month, I deliver one such session where we cover a story. If you pay attention to our social media, inshallah ta'ala, you should be able to find it. Every Saturday, there's something going on. But this session where we cover a qissa, it happens once every month. حياكم الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.